Okay, let's follow up from this morning, 1 Corinthians 14, to Matthew 13. This morning we begin to compare Paul. Paul begins to compare the prophetic ministry, prophesying in the church, to tongues, and the fact that understanding is far superior to an experience, that to speak in tongues is to not communicate, because nobody knows what you're saying unless it's interpreted. And prophesying is speaking the known language, so it is superior. However, it is not viewed as superior by Charismatics and Pentecostals, because it is considered to be a key to being baptized or filled with the Spirit. So you speak in tongues, which gives you victory, the holiness belief that you can live completely pure, and that the second blessing of the baptism of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues produces that. So I want us to look at this idea of understanding being superior and what nature it is tonight. Verse 10, Matthew 13. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" Let's pray. Lord, we need to be kept in our place and proper respect for our condition before you and your gracious revelation of yourself to us. And what trouble we are in when we begin to devalue divine knowledge and speak of it as something which is perceived by human understanding, that we are unable to even think the proper thoughts, and yet we consider ourselves so educated, so righteous in our doctrines, in our ideas, in men's opinions. And I pray, Lord, that we would see the perspective here given by you, Lord Jesus, that without you we do not have knowledge. We do not have the ability to perceive and understand things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's something that the world calls what Jesus has described here. When the world doesn't understand the Lord, when the world does not grasp basics of the gospel, when the world speaks of God in a nebulous kind of way, they don't grasp it, the doctrine. When the world speaks of theology and denies certain basics of theology like the resurrection or the new birth and things, the world calls this insightful. It calls it clear thinking. The world says that it's enlightened when darkness reigns. And the thought is, and it's not really spoken, it's just assumed, that we have the knowledge we need, And if we need to know about God more, we'll just get more knowledge of God, and we have enough. Most people are satisfied with the knowledge of God they have. The Jews, during the time of Jesus, very satisfied. They had plenty of knowledge of God. In fact, they had the most knowledge on earth of God. And they had the most knowledge of earth of the coming of the Messiah. Nobody knew more than they did. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, they had more knowledge than anybody on earth about these times. They knew about them. They had the temple services. They had the prophets, the law. They had it all. There's no other people that could rival them. And yet, Jesus speaks to them in parables. Now, these are great parables here. Parables of the kingdom, the sower and the soils, and this whole chapter is of parables. And Jesus speaking to the people in parables. A parable is a lesson given in a story form, which makes it a little bit mysterious then, because it has a meaning that is not directly related to the story. A sower goes out to sow. Well, he goes through all these things, saying the seed was sown, and some of it fell by the wayside, and some of it was eaten by the birds on the wayside, and some of it grew up in thorns, and some among rocks, and some in good soil. And at the end he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so people scratch their heads about that, and they're going, okay, what is that about? That's a parable. The same with those following, the wheat and the tares, where the wheat is sown and the tares are sown, and they both grow together until the harvest. What is that? So the disciples come, in verse 10 we're told, and they ask the question, you know, why do you speak to them in parables? Why don't you just come out and say what it means? That the seed is the gospel, and that it's sown and not everybody receives it. And some receive it and they don't really mean to be committed to it. They just take it for a little while. And others don't listen to any of it. And some actually receive it. Why don't you just say that? But he doesn't. He interprets even to his disciples, because they don't know either. But he tells them about it later. So he answers the question. Why do you speak to them in parables? And it's not something that people would ever think to hear today. Here's the answer. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, can you just imagine the response to that? Are you saying that some people are being shut out from the things of God and God is not revealing himself? Well, listen, I know just as much as anybody else. You can hear where it's going to go. My thoughts are just as valid as your thoughts, and on it goes. And who better would say that than a Jew living in Israel with the temple and all of these privileges, which Paul refers to in Romans, that the Jews consider themselves to be the teachers of all the world because they've been given the revelation of God. And they're right, except they didn't grasp it. And Jesus says, you know, this is a directed teaching. It's not for everybody. Now, one thing we understand today from people is that everything God does, he has to do equally for every person. Because we have to do that. The government's supposed to favor everybody equally. We can't. In schools, all the students have to get equal treatment. So, God, you have to go along with us here. Everybody is a person. Everybody has a mind. Everybody should get the same. And we're told here that it doesn't happen. The Lord doesn't do that. People think that they all have the knowledge and they can all make good decisions. And to a degree, that's true. Because God has given every person enough knowledge to respond appropriately to Christ, even if it's just nature. But you see that the Lord here has chosen to reveal to some and not to others. That's what it says. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Suppose we had a movie in the theaters that was a mystery. I like mysteries. And we put on at the door, it was enforced, that only people who were 35 years old and above could go into that movie and watch it. Nobody else, nobody under 35, could see the movie. Oh, the howls of protest. Especially if it was a good movie. The how, what, you cannot keep us out of this movie. And you can bet that the kids would be finding a way to see it. They'd be sneaking in cameras, whatever to do to see it. Because it's our right. We all have to have the right to see it. That's the way people think. But Jesus says, no, they've not been given the same things you've been given. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So Jesus says there's a reason that they don't get any more. It's because they've not done with what they have. Now the supply of God's knowledge is vast. He could pour out knowledge to us without end, infinite. His knowledge is infinite. And yet it does not flow freely to every heart. And it's not because God is stingy. That's the thinking that people always have, and everybody doesn't get an equal share. God's doing something wrong. We're innocent. Oh, why can't we know? Well, he says there, why not? Because whoever has, to him more will be given. Now, the context there, whoever has, would be knowledge, understanding. Whoever has understanding, who really gets it, he'll get more. But whoever does not have, that means, again, knowledge or wisdom or understanding, even what he has will be taken away from him. So if you don't grasp it, but it's in your presence, it's right there. We can relate to this from school, just in a natural plane. That if you didn't understand what you were taught, it left by itself pretty much. And in regard to revelation from heaven, obviously, God's hand is in it. And so the Lord says, if you get what I teach you, which you should get because it is gettable. He's speaking in a language we understand. He's not speaking in tongues. He's not doing gibberish. He is just speaking before, through nature, through the temple, through the law. These people have gotten loads of knowledge. And so have we in this day. Loads of it. And if you don't do right with it, we wouldn't give any more knowledge to people on that basis. It's not just the Lord, but if we gave out our good things to people who just despised them and didn't think about them and threw them away, after a while, we would say, well, we're not giving you any more. And what you have, you'll forget. So it's not that they didn't have knowledge. It's that they had all the knowledge given to them, way, way beyond the worlds. And they didn't have it. So if you have it, Jesus says, you get more. If you don't have it, Jesus says, you lose what you have. And we can see this as well. We were probably acquainted with a lot of people who have been educated religiously in homes, in schools, in churches. If they walk in those truths, they have it. If they don't walk in them, they don't have it, and they lose what they had. And you look at them later, months, years, they're way beyond, not knowledge, but ignorance. They've gone far down the path away from the Lord because they didn't get it. They didn't grasp it. And so the Lord says that Israel is that way. Israel doesn't get it. I've given you all this information, all this knowledge, all this insight, all this enlightenment, and they did not get it. So he spoke to them in parables. On purpose, verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now at the same time that was going on, they said they knew more than anybody else. The Pharisees were proud. They were the teachers of Israel. The scribes, that was their business. The Sadducees, that was their way of life. The priests in the temple, all these people knew so much, but they didn't have it. They had the formalities of it. They might have worshipped in truth without the heart and the spirit, the soul. And so they didn't have it. And yet they thought they did. Just like the Corinthians, you know, they had tongues, they thought they had arrived. But it was without content. They didn't know what they were saying, they didn't know what they were praying, they didn't know what they were hearing when someone got up and spoke in tongues. So yet they were proud about it because it was a working of the Spirit or whatever. Knowledge is a whole lot better, Paul said, prophesying, better than tongues, because you can't understand tongues. But you can understand prophesying. Well, what Jesus was doing was prophesying. And yet as he prophesied, some didn't get it. And he spoke to them in parables. Because, you know, knowledge is a privilege. We're not owed that. People say we're owed an education. We're not really owed that. People say we're owed knowledge. You know, we need to get out of this "I'm owed this" mentality. The thought of being owed something that you don't want is a waste of time. So they felt like they'd arrived. And Jesus here is saying something that would absolutely be... No, Jesus didn't say that. That's what we would hear today. If you ask somebody without referring to this passage, if you said, did Jesus give everybody when he came, did he give everybody the same amount of information about himself to make a good decision? You'd probably get a lot of people say, oh yeah, because that's fair. He says here, they've not been... he said, I've given them enough. They've been given way, 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 way bunch, and they don't get it. Seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, now this is what Isaiah was commissioned with. And he's not the only prophet that was given this kind of a commission. He is told that he has a job to do of prophesying, but that they're not going to understand it. Here's the prophecy, verse 14 from Isaiah 6. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them." Where we have been tripped up in our society is if we learn a few things in Sunday school when we're growing up, if we pick up a couple of verses here and there, if we've read the Bible from time to time, if we belong to a church, listen to sermons and lessons and whatever from that, if every once in a while we maybe tune into something on TV about the gospel or whatever, that we know enough. We know enough. Now there are those people out there, they want to know more. They're the preachers and these Christians that dig into it more. But we know enough. The standard is we know enough and we just live our lives the way we want. But we got that little bit of knowledge out there, kind of like a course in school where you take a quarter or a semester or whatever of a religion class. And you say, "Oh, yeah, I know all that stuff." Seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. I read, and I told Cindy this. This is another one of these headlines, like the mosquitoes thing I told you this morning, that said that you should not stroke your cat, pet your cat, because it causes stress to the cat. Now, if you've ever petted a cat, does it look like they're stressing out? I've petted cats, and they just roll over and they enjoy, and they and get this, they actually, if you stick it, they'll rub up against it. Now who's petting who? They'll actually rub up against it. And I've had cats, if you stop petting them, they'll bite you because they want you to pet them. Now there's some expert now that's coming, "Oh well, you shouldn't pet cats, it stresses them out." No doubt he believes with all of his heart what he has said is true. But, I mean, open your eyes. What is that purring noise you hear when you start petting a cat that wasn't there before? It just seemed like common sense is uncommon these days. And so, these people here, and right there at that point, they believe they've got it. "Yeah, I got it. When they don't want it. And they see it, and they say, "Yeah, I've seen it. I've got that," and they don't have it. Now look at it from the side of God. God is giving all this information that he doesn't owe anybody. He doesn't owe us anything because we got the knowledge in the garden and we turned against it. The Lord gave us knowledge. He said, "Don't eat of that tree or you'll die." So what do? Eat of the tree and die. That is the backdrop of this. Now, the Corinthians were devaluing knowledge. They did it in several places. We saw them do it right off in the first chapter. They were following the philosophy of man instead of the philosophies of God. Truth of God and the philosophies of men, they chose men. "I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, you know. I'm of a different school." And so they followed what they considered to be the wise way, and they lost wisdom. In every place, they were so smart, and they were dumb. Same with the philosophers in Acts that Paul would debate with. They had thought about all these philosophical truths, and they had it down. And you'll see it today. People are very comfortable in what they philosophically believe, but then they're ignorant of basic things. Our scientists, the majority of our scientists today, examining the wonders of this world, the intricacies of it, if they get microscopes, look at the order of it, down to the microscopic or atomic level even, and they don't make the proper conclusions from it. That they say it came by chance and no design. Seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. You see, this is the privilege is in having the eyes of our hearts open. Not that we're privileged to know knowledge without that. They thought they knew. And we're told in verse 15 that their heart has grown dull and their ears are hard of hearing. That is a description of someone who has rejected what they're receiving to such a degree that it fails. The signals come in and it doesn't receive them and it grows dull. And the ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have closed. You know, their eyes get tired. They see the same thing. They never get it. They finally just close their eyes. It's just, it's not even perceived. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Being lost means to be in darkness. The light of the world is Jesus. So when he comes and shares light, the Bible says we need to be aware of the fact that we're in darkness. And when people think they're in the light because they have a religious history, they don't perceive. They don't apply the truth to themselves. People will take the truth and they'll say, well, I know somebody that needs that. And they'll hope they hear it. But they themselves, and often it's seen most vividly in people who are like us, church people. The church people who've gotten all the lessons, all the teachings, we have the Bible. You know, there are people who are just craving what's right here in front of us tonight. This Bible, there are people in the world who would just devour this. We hear about it when the Gideons going out into different countries and passing out Bibles, and they want them. They crave them. They chase the cars that have the Bibles in them. They want more Bibles. Do the same thing here. You'll be the ones being chased out. Don't want them in the schools. You sneak them around, give them into a few places on an army base. You got to be careful where you hand them out. People don't want them. And we think we're a civilized country. And yet we don't want to receive the Word of God. So this is the way they were. They're hard of hearing. They can't see. They're dull. I can't shout at them. Remember what the Lord did with Israel. He sent prophets in an increasing amount as they fell closer to being destroyed, rising up early and sending them. And they would not listen to them. And they would instead kill the prophets, just as they killed the Lord Jesus. So the Lord here is saying in this parable, they don't want knowledge. They don't get it. They have scorned what I've given to them. They don't get it. If you went to your neighborhood and at your neighbors passed out candy, I guess that's coming up in reverse. You go to get candy from your neighbors. Kids do. If you did that, going to the neighbors and giving them candy, and they took your candy and threw it back at you, how long before you got tired of that? It's candy or popcorn. Tickets to a game, you know, they want to go to. A new car, whatever it is. And they just scoffed and scorned you and just threw you out and threw rocks at you. You would say, you know, I'm done. And the Lord's not done. But he says these people have undergone judgment. Isaiah is to go and preach to people who aren't going to listen because they haven't listened to this point. When the rich man of the rich man and Lazarus said, go tell my brothers so they don't come to this place, Abraham said they've got Moses and the prophets. They won't hear them. They won't listen even if somebody rises from the dead. It is a very, very, very serious matter to just dispense of truth and not receive it. And yet today people feel that God is just begging them and throwing the knowledge out to everybody and just begging them because he has some sort of a need for them, that they would come. Oh, please, please just take this knowledge. And we don't see that in Scripture. That's the way we like to portray it today, is that men are in charge. It doesn't seem like it's that way here. The Lord speaks to them in parables so that they won't get any more information because they've not done anything well with what they've gotten. Now, Jonathan Edwards said, and I've conveyed this to you before, that when he preached like this, when he preached the message of God's election, for example, when he said things like, you know, God's not going to choose everybody out here, God's going to choose some, that people were upset about that and sought the Lord more. I got to believe that's the purpose. Because it's on us, although it's only possible by God drawing us, but it's on us to do the right thing and receive the Lord. It's on us. The truth did go out to Israel that they would receive it. The truth did go out that their hearts would receive it, that their eyes would see it, that their ears would hear. They should have gotten all the teaching of Jesus. They rejected all of it. So the point is that they would get it, but they didn't. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Being the disciples. Why are you speaking to them in parables, the disciples said. Jesus said, because I've given it to you to understand, and not for them. And it's connected here, blessed are your eyes for and your ears. Your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. They were receiving the truth. And you see, that is not what the Corinthians were doing, because they had their own ideas about things, but then in church they gloried more in gibberish than they did in prophecy, because of the experience. There's something wrong with the world, and all you need to see to prove this is to look at car salesman ads. And you can't hardly, if you're watching football or something, you can't get away from it. That some guy gets on trying to sell you a car and he acts like a complete idiot. He is screaming. He's dressed up like a dinosaur. He is jumping around. Hey, brother! And he's doing all that. And I told Cindy, I said, I would never go there to even look at a car, no matter what price it was. You know, I bet I'm in the minority. They wouldn't be doing that if it didn't draw people in. And so you got to... The fearful thing is that you can get on TV, act like a complete idiot, dress up like who knows what, and people actually come and buy a car from you. There's something not right. And that's just a silly example. But Jesus here says, you know, I've given them all the knowledge, revelation that's been given. They're dull and blind. They don't want to hear it. So your eyes are blessed. If you see the things of Scripture and you desire the things of Scripture and you take in the things of Scripture, you're blessed. It's from God. Verse 17, for surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now that's not relating to the people above. That's just relating to the time that they live in, that now is the time of the Messiah. And now these disciples have gotten the full revelation of God in Christ, whereas those who had it were not given that because they did not have it really in their hearts. But these simple fishermen, for the most part, common men, not religious experts, their hearts received it. The righteous men wanted to see it. The prophets wanted to see it. If they'd been living in that time, they would have received it. What a privilege we have. Look at where we are now. We're not just here where they were. Yeah, they got to see Jesus. But we're not just there where they were. We've gotten the epistles after that, all the way through Revelation, we've received in the new covenant. We've gotten all of that now. We're even more privileged other than seeing the Lord Jesus ourselves. So they see, that's the blessing of knowledge. It is a serious thing to squander away knowledge, to have an experience or an event where you're just excited about the event, not about the content. Because that's what Israel essentially did. They took the information and they did not receive it. And by the time Jesus came, they were so hard, they didn't get anything else. They had been gorged with privilege and just pushed it all aside. I read of a privileged person. I guess she grew up rich. And she didn't know what toast was. And this is, I guess, this is a reality show. I don't watch it, but I'm reading news things. She asked her husband whether he wanted his toast toasted or not. And he was going, "What do you mean?" Because he apparently wasn't of the same upbringing as she was. She said, "Well, is it called toast if it's not toasted?" He said, "What is it called if it's not toasted?" He said, "Bread." And she was saying, well, she was going to have to Google that, because she thought bread was a whole loaf, and once you cut it in pieces, it was toast. Now, you know, she didn't grow up in the same environment like we did. And she had a lot of privileges that I'm sure we did not have. But we know what toast is. The disciples received what the professionals would not. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?